When you have experienced childhood trauma and it's unresolved, it's being held in your body, what you may then go on to experience in your adult life are these cycles and patterns of what feels like re-traumatization. So can often feel like big trigger events, and it seems to all come from the outside in. It seems to and feels like it's genuinely out there happening to you. It makes you feel very powerless. And this experience affects your nervous system. So what we have is we have a nervous system that is already fragile, is already traumatized, is already highly activated. The sympathetic nervous system is dominant, makes it very hard for you to ground, makes it very hard for you to rest, and makes it very hard to feel at peace within yourself. The embodiment is not there. So that foundational nervous system already exists within you. Then you have these external triggers, and what they do is they reactivate the trauma that's already there, that's unresolved, these patterns in your brain and your nervous system. And when we are in that state of sympathetic dominance, of overstimulation, of fight or flight, of running away from our internal world, when we're in that state of dissociation and lack of body connection, of emotional numbing and spiritual disconnection, what happens is we experience all of this re-triggering in the external world. And we then start to believe things like the world is against us, the world is punishing us, nothing ever goes right for us, it's so hard to exist in the world, why do all these things keep happening? And these narratives and these beliefs come from our experiences. As these external events keep happening and seemingly feel like they're completely out of your control, and it may be things within your family, it may be things to do with your children, it may be things that are happening in your community, it could be things that disrupt your home life, things that disrupt your career. All these external triggers, right, that are happening in the world, they're going to happen. They are going to happen throughout your journey, and they're going to happen throughout your spiritual journey as well. So whether you're in that trauma healing phase or whether you're in that growth phase, these external events are going to keep happening. What makes the difference between whether we can integrate the external experiences in a healthy way versus whether we collapse back into the old trauma structure and feel that these external events are re-traumatizing is how we interpret the external event. Now, how we interpret the external world is not really to do with only our thoughts, but it's also to do with how our nervous system interprets an external event. So, for example, two people could be experiencing the same external event. Maybe they lose their job suddenly, it comes out of nowhere, but there's a whole load of unplanned redundancies. And we've got two individuals. One of them is holding a lot of unresolved childhood trauma. Nervous system is very fragile, very activated, and they don't have a lot of resilience. They're not connected to their purpose. They're not connected to their body. They don't have spiritual grounding to understand the purpose of pain or the purpose of their life, and they're not learning from their own pain. They're avoiding their own pain. That tends to happen at the beginning of the healing journey. Then you've got the other person who's developed inner self-soothing mechanisms, who's developed a compass towards their purpose, who has understood the purpose of their trauma and integrated it at a physical and emotional level, who is taking responsibility and constant self-accountability for the situations they choose to create and that they put themselves in, and who has boundaries and clarity and a belief in themselves. A belief in themselves that transcends what is happening to them on the outside. So, at the foundational level, we've got somebody who doesn't hold that core self-worth, self-belief. We have somebody that has developed, because we're not just born with it, has developed by healing themselves, core foundation of self-worth and self-belief. Two individuals. Imagine both of those individuals lose their job. How do they respond and react? The first individual is immediately going to be triggered into such despair, fear, confusion, a victim mode, because they are going to feel very powerless. It's going to re-trigger all of the times when they've had things taken away from them, all of the times when the ground has been unpredictable, all of the times they experienced lack and couldn't get out of it, right? It's going to reactivate the unresolved trauma. The type of things that person's going to end up thinking are things like, I don't know how I'm going to survive without this job. This was the thing that I really needed to not be taken away. Now it's being taken away. What will I do? I don't know what I will do. There'll be a lot of confusion, a lot of panic. And I don't deserve this. This is not fair. These are the kind of thoughts that that person is going to naturally feel, right? All these thoughts affect the nervous system. All these thoughts affect the energy body. The thoughts are affecting where that person vibrates. So they're vibrating in fear. There's no way out of that. You can convince that person, even if they didn't like that job and they weren't even feeling fulfilled in that job, they will still feel that way because of the state of their system. Then you have the other person. They are much more likely to interpret the job loss, which is, of course, undesirable, but they are much more likely to interpret it through a different lens, a lens of growth, a lens of, okay, maybe this is going to be open a new opportunity for me. Maybe this will give me more space in my life to do the things that I've actually really wanted to do for a long time. They may think things like, well, I wasn't actually feeling deeply fulfilled in that job anyway, and I've kind of been looking for something different to do for myself. So maybe this is the universe giving me a kind of a kick up the bum and saying, hey, are you ready to move now? They will find a different meaning in the same experience because their levels of interpretation are deeper. They are not just interpreting at the level of fear, which is the mind level. They are interpreting at the level of the heart. They are interpreting at the level of the spirit. How does this external event shape and affect me when I know what my purpose is, I know what I'm capable of, and I've built resilience. I've built an internal resilience that allows me to face these things in the external world with meaning, with focus, without the collapse. So the nervous system is more resilient. So what we have here is two individuals that are in different places in their healing journey, experiencing the same event, right? Interpreting it completely differently. Both of these people vibrate in different spaces, completely different spaces, right? One person is using the external event to essentially fall back into the old structures that have not been resolved because of their childhood trauma. The other person is using the healing work they've done, the resilience they've built up, to interpret that event, that trigger, as an opportunity for growth. Who do you think is more likely to get further along in life? And who do you think is more likely to develop a healthy relationship with their career? It's going to be the person that has built the internal resilience and the person who has done the healing work to allow them to see and feel through the different layers of why things happen and why they need to happen like that. They're more likely to use the external trigger to set them free rather than to create another cage, another vibrational cage to rattle around it. These vibrational cages exist in our nervous system. I talk more about that in our Sacred Somatics module, which is a course that you can take, and also in the Energetic Mastery module. What are these vibrational cages? How do you identify them? How do you know what they mean? Where do they move within you? How do you clear them from your nervous system? How do you get beneath the cage so that you can unlock them and dissolve that structure? This is the energy work that I teach, part of what I teach in Energetic Mastery. So this is why it's really important that we do heal the foundations of our nervous system. And you'll always find those foundations in your ancestral lines and in your childhood, in your parenting experiences. you've got to go further back. This is really key. And when you have done that, it's not to say that you're not going to be triggered. You're not going to have a reaction. Of course you are. You're human. And these reactions are, they're showing you something about what you want and what you don't want, right? You, if you didn't have any reactions, you'd probably be emotionally numb and dissociated. And it's very important to have reactions and have responses so that you can learn what you actually want, what is actually authentically aligned with you. So you are going to be affected in some way, but the difference is you will not collapse into complete despair, loss, confusion, and panic, because you have built the ability within yourself to be resilient. And we talk about resilience a lot, especially as therapists, you know, and especially as somatic therapists, the word resilience comes up. And you might be listening to this and you might be wondering, what exactly is resilience? Something for you to think about. What does it mean to be resilient? It doesn't mean nothing affects you. Nothing affected you. As I say, you would be a robot. You'd be numbed out and you'd be emotionally disconnected. It means you are open to being moved in different ways without that movement causing serious detriment on a long-term basis to your welfare, your physical health, your emotional health, your relational health, your spiritual health, your mental health. You are still going to be moved. You have to be moved. We're on this growth journey. You will be moved. But the way in which you move is not into complete collapse. You don't get frozen, for example. You don't get stuck. You move into territories which may be uncomfortable for sure, but you don't live there. That's the difference. The person who's built resilience, and hopefully you are building resilience by doing the somatic practices and the energy healing practices in this course and learning about your childhood trauma, learning how to heal it, you're building resilience, right? Building resilience and building a deeper sense of self-worth, sense of authenticity. Who you are is aligned with what you think, what you feel, how you behave, who you surround yourself with. You're uncompromising about that because it's who you are, right? When you've built that resilience and that authenticity, you can meet external triggers without allowing them to completely ruin your life. And they may hurt, for sure. They may hurt, they may cause you pain, they may cause you to feel deep emotional or even physical pain. But what they won't do is they won't take you into a place of deep self-hatred, into that black hole which you can't get out of, into another re-traumatizing place where all of the structures around you start to fall apart, i.e., oh, I've lost my job, therefore, you know, now I'm not even going to eat properly. I'm not going to feed myself. Now I'm not going to socialize because I'm depressed. I don't want to be around anybody. Now, you know, I'm not going to work on my skills because now I've lost my job. Now I'm really panicked about money. And therefore, how can I invest in my own learning and development? Now I'm going to stay up all night and I'm going to watch Netflix, etc. Or I'm going to start engaging in self-sabotaging behavior because I feel re-triggered because I've lost something. Like that can happen when you're in those early stages before you've built the resilience, because it's like a cascade through your nervous system of unresolved patterns that are now being triggered through all these layers, and it's very deep and it does hurt. The difference with someone who's built resilience and who has healed, and the healing never ends, but who is more healed, more self-aware at an embodied level, is that they won't suffer. They can experience pain and it will hurt, but they won't suffer, i.e. they won't create more self-sabotage, more toxicity, more pain for themselves unknowingly, unconsciously, because their response is, okay, I can do something about this. I choose how I can grow from this experience. And instead of going outwards into the world out there, into the event, they go inwards, into their heart, into their body, to find the answer for the question they have, which is, why is this happening to me? Go inwards. When we go inwards, we can heal and we can see. When someone is in the early stages of their journey, and this might be where you are, when you go inwards, you don't see. It's cloudy, it's gray, it's foggy, it's murky. There's so many patterns built up in fossilized layers in the nervous system. It becomes very hard to see clearly when you have a question. So over time, when you don't heal, every time something happens and you have a question and you go to get insight from within, you come inside and you're like, it's confusing. I have no idea. Can't see anything. All I see is pain. All I see is murkiness. All I see is self-hatred. All I see is self-limitation, what I can't do, what I'm not good enough at. All I see is shame. Shame that has not been healed, right? So going inside to develop insight and resilience, inner resilience, becomes much harder when that person has a lot of unresolved childhood trauma held in the body. And that's why it's very essential to start working with the patterns and the events and how you felt about the events that happened in your childhood, and be radically honest with yourself about how these situations and these experiences have actually shaped you without you even knowing, right? We have to inquire, inner inquiry. And the inquiry gets easier as we get clearer, as we get more grounded, as we get more still, as we feel safer in our body. The inquiry gets clearer, which means we can go in with a question, right, immediately. We go in, we feel it, we feel everything around that we need to learn, and boom, there's the answer. We get the answer, we get the clarity, and we get the guidance on how to move through that, how to move through that block. That is the inner, that's why we call it inner work, because it's inner work, right? And it becomes easier to do. So this means that as we develop that resilience, whatever happens in the external, it can be worked through internally. And it will be worked through at a level that actually takes you to a completely different level within yourself. It's a path of growth then. It's not about, okay, I'm working through this to stay where I am. No, it's I'm working through this because there's really something important for me to learn here about my growth. And when I do learn it, and when I do heal, and I do integrate that, I've stepped into that different frequency. That's growth. I've embodied that because I've learned the lesson. So how do we develop resilience? Inner inquiry, healing the childhood nervous system, healing the ancestral system and the ancestral field that's vibrating through us and through the root space where we develop safety. Learning how to feel safe in the body, very, very key. Understanding through the inner inquiry and the somatic work, how our perception of what is happening externally to us is a lens. And that lens, however painful it is, what is happening, it can be used to either take you down into hell or take you up to heaven, right? You choose from your level of interpretation. That requires, as I said, self-accountability, being radically accountable for your own path, for the situations that you're choosing and that you're creating. That requires radical self-accountability. What else does it require? Stability. You can't do self-inquiry and deep trauma healing work if you're not stable. If you're not stable financially, you're always going to find an excuse why you can't pay for healing. If you're not stable mentally, you're always going to find a reason why unlocking the pain is causing you more pain. So you're stuck in the victim consciousness. And if you want to understand more about that, please read my podcast, please read my blog and listen to the podcast. But please read my blog, where I have articles. Two articles in particular on how to identify if you have become stuck in victim consciousness, and how you know when your shadow has taken you hostage. These are very important. And it leads me into the other point, which is we develop resilience when we do shadow work. Because when we do shadow work, it leads us into our light. We know who we are. We've embodied that. It's not a concept. It's embodied shadow work. When you know who you are and you've experienced the frequency of your light within your body, you've experienced your own illumination and emanation, and you have experienced that over and over again, and you know it without reasonable doubt, or with reasonable doubt, whatever they say, but you know it with confidence, then that shadow work has enabled you and equipped you to deal with anything that comes your way, because you know how to go in again and find the light. Finding the light is finding the purpose. It's finding the reason. It's finding the growth. And this is what enables us to build resilience. What else do we need to build resilience? We need some level of nourishment, self-nourishment. If we are only getting nourishment from external behaviors or from external people, if we only ever get nourishment from our partner because we have no idea how to meet our own needs, we don't even know what they are. If we only ever get nourishment from drinking alcohol because it's the only way that we can sleep and it's the only way that we can socialize, it's the only way we can feel relaxed or like ourselves, and there are many people who have been stuck in this pattern. If we only ever nourish ourselves through toxic behaviors that give us a sense of validation and self-worth, but are actually escapism or distractions from where we really need to be going, if we only ever do that, or if we do that majority of the time, building resilience becomes much harder, because we're eroding at the very resilient structures that we need to be able to nurture. Instead of nurturing ourselves in healthy ways, we erode ourselves. We become more fragile. And when the nervous system that's already traumatized becomes even more fragile, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. All it takes is a small thing on the outside, and the nervous system will go into complete fight or flight mode, because the smallest little thing has now triggered the fragility. So we have fragility and we have resilience, right? So this is another reason why we really need to build resilience, by learning how to nurture ourselves from the inside. And that could be with the right foods, with the right breath work, with the right behavior, with the right career, with the right friends, with the right partners, with the right approach to parenting, with a safe home environment, with a good sleep hygiene and sleep cycle, with, did I say the right foods? The foods we eat, with the community that we're in, with our connection to nature, with our creativity. We have so many avenues of self-nurturing that we can engage in, right? And we need to learn this, because often for those of you who've gone through very extreme forms of childhood trauma and childhood abuse, the nurturing was never there. So I often hear this from my clients who are like, well, how do I know how to love myself if I've never loved myself? How do I know how to nurture myself if I've never nurtured myself? How do I start to believe in myself if I never have? I've never felt self-worth. I always thought, from as far back as I can remember, that I am worse than everyone else, that there's something bad about me. Shame, right? So how does somebody who's holding those traumas and those traumatic belief systems nurture themselves and build resilience? The answer is by learning. Your parents didn't give it to you at the depth that you required it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here watching this course. Later on in the course, you'll discover why your parents didn't and the purpose of it all. But for now, let's stay with, you didn't get it from your home environment as a child. You didn't get it from your parents. Maybe you didn't get it from your friends. Maybe you didn't get it from your siblings. You didn't get it at school. So in your adult life, perhaps also you didn't get it. You don't feel it. And you're like, well, where's it going to come from? Well, I can tell you, it's not going to come through your letterbox, and it's not going to come out of the sky, and it's not going to land somewhere, one day, one night. It's going to be built by you through consistent, sincere, embodied self-healing work. It's going to be built. We build the ability to learn how to nurture ourselves through practice, right? Consistency is key. It doesn't become a practice until it's consistent. And going on that journey is really a self-healing journey. And I take my clients on that journey of learning how to consistently nurture themselves. And what they find is, by the end of it, they're giving themselves something that they have never had before, never tasted it. Their parents never showed them this level of safety, love, belief in them, emotional depth, holding. I feel you through the unspoken. They never had that, but they learn it. We can only really learn that through interacting with each other, by being around safe people who are also on that journey. And that's why Room Room is so powerful, because it's a group journey where we learn that co-regulation with each other, but at deep, deep levels, right? We need to allow ourselves to learn, and we need to be ready to teach ourselves. If we keep saying, because of the unresolved trauma and how we feel about ourselves, because of the shame, if we keep saying, well, I can't do that, I can't learn resilience because I've never had it, and I don't trust other people, and I don't trust the world, and I don't even trust my own thoughts, definitely don't trust my body because I can't feel it. In emotions, what are they? I try to avoid them, right? If we're in that place, it's very difficult to learn because we're not open to learning. We need to be open to learning how to nurture ourselves. And when we start and we go sincerely on that journey, we end up in that place where we're consistently nurturing ourselves and giving ourselves something that we didn't get. And that feeling is a feeling that nobody can take away. Nobody. Your growth journey and your healing journey and the person that you become and keep becoming, not a single person on this planet, not a single force, can take that away without your permission. It's yours. It's who you are. It's not something that you own. It's an inner state that you embody. It's who you are, right? This is the feeling that you, this gives rise to the feeling of resilience, because you feel it from the inside and you know what you've given yourself. You know what you've taught yourself. You know what you've been open to learning. You've learned it. You feel a certain way within yourself and you emanate that. And as a result, when you know that you were the one to give it to yourself, what does that inspire in you? Self-belief, self-worth. That is the complete polar opposite to lack of self-worth, shame, self-hatred, which is what often we're holding at the beginning of the healing journey. Guilt, shame, self-hatred. I don't know how to love myself. I don't know what that looks like. I've never done it before. I need to be loved, but I don't know how to love myself, right? When we develop the resilience by healing, we develop our own self-love. We've given it to ourselves at the level that we really want it, right? And often it's deeper than anyone else around. And when we do that, it's easier to deal with these external things that happen, external triggers, because you've got something to come back to, which is yourself. Come back to yourself. And it's a good place to come back to. At the beginning of the healing journey, you're trying to come back to yourself. When you come into your heart, all you feel is pain. And I have clients that say that to me, like, when I go into my heart, all I feel is the pain, the beginning of their journey. And then later, sometimes even just a few weeks later, all they feel when they go inside is their purpose. Wow, I feel it. I feel my strength. I feel who I am. This is me. And they're filled with wonder and they're filled with purpose and they're filled with that authentic spark and that knowing that they have given themselves through the healing work. They've given themselves something that they could never get and that was never given to them in their childhood. That affects the future generations, because one person that does that, that's part of a family system that ripples down into the children. It's very, very important that children get to see that and feel it from parents who are embodied, from parents who have done the work, setting the example and leading the children, instead of the children constantly having to take on the role of being the mirror, the painful mirror to the parents, by mirroring back all the shadow aspects that the parents have not resolved, because they haven't resolved their own childhood. So it's children having children, right? This is very important. Very important to build resilience as an individual and as a family. Because if you don't have the resilience as an individual and you constantly have all these external events happening in your life, with your career, your children's school, with your children's health, with your partner's connection with you, with money worries, with everything that comes with modern day life, right? All the uncertainty, etc. In that family system, it's not just you, it's all these external events and all the people in this family system and all their stuff, all ripe and ready to implode or explode, right? So one person who does the work actually starts to create a safe place in this family for everybody to drop into and for everybody to build resilience through. So building resilience is a journey of learning how to meet pain with our senses that are cultivated at a deep enough level for us to be able to feel into pain and find the purpose, the lesson, the teachings, rather than just suffer. This is a journey. We have to learn. We have to teach ourselves. It's not something that just happens. It comes through healing work. It comes through consistency. It comes through community. It comes through deciding that you're on that journey now of really believing in yourself and taking whatever comes from the outside as a growth opportunity, not as a punishment opportunity. I hope that this has been helpful. Please leave comments if you feel like you're working through something and you need some support, or you're wondering anything about what I've talked about in this module, and I will see you on the next one.